Christ came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, and hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, from tender hand he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me.
If you sing, choir, y'all look at, we've got another singing schedule that we put out, so be sure you look at it, okay, Brother Will? Be sure and look at that. Just a FYI, he's having a birthday toward the end of the month, you know, so we'll have to sing happy birthday to him, and we won't even make him play on his own birthday, but he's got a few weeks, he's going to be 63. Oh, I'm 60, I think it is. He's getting on up there. So, y'all pray for him. He's got a long way to go playing the piano, okay? All right. Ruth chapter 4. February 21st, Gene Harmon. Y'all remember him? Missionary to China. How many of y'all didn't hear him when he was here before? Oh, I'm telling you. You do not want to miss. I didn't know much about him when he began to call before we even scheduled him, and he would ask me, "Preacher, am I going to have the whole service, Sunday school and church?" And you know, usually when people begin to do that, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not gonna do that. I've never heard you. I don't know, you know, and I don't really know a lot about you. And so when they won't start, to me it's kind of pushy, and I'm pretty protective of my pulpit. And so I didn't anyway. I said no, not all day, but I'll let you have just the main service. And so he said okay. But when he came, and as soon as he started. He was just amazing, very interesting. We can't put him on live stream because he's there in China, and but I'm telling you, if you don't want to miss him, if you missed him the first time, don't miss him the second time, because I don't know when he'll be back, but he'll be here February 21st, and so please, you pray for him, and I'm looking forward to him as well as Brother Stewart. He's an amazing speaker, Brother Stewart. He just he forgets more than I'll ever know about Scripture, and so I think it's an amazing thing for him to come. He'll be here a Sunday through a Wednesday, and each evening, Monday through Wednesday, it'll be at 7 o'clock, and it'll be from 7 to 8. But we'll get him in the pulpit as quickly as possible. So please, you write those dates down. All right, Ruth chapter 4, And we'll start in verse 13, if you'll please. You're able to stand in honor of reading the Word of God. And Ruth chapter 4, found your place in verse 13. Say amen. Amen. You keep your Bibles open. We're going to do some reading this afternoon, okay? It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Man, that's amazing for her, God, to say that she's better than seven sons. And we talked about that last week. It says, and then Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this son is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David, and the line goes right on up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how amazing is that? And God's people can say amen. Father, help us, Lord, as we come to the conclusion of our study through the book of Ruth. I pray, God, that you'd help me, Lord, to make application, Lord, to us today. And Lord, what a wonderful picture it is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, in his return, how much he loves us. And Lord, how he's coming back to get us one day. And for that, Lord, I'm thankful. So God, help us to glean from your word. Thank you again for our folks who are faithful. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us as a people, Lord, this year in 2021 to be steadfast, unmovable, Lord, and always abounding in the cause of Christ. And God, will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Probably all of us have, in some point in our life, have we've experienced something that was almost too good to be true. I've had some things like that, and you're wondering if you're thinking, man, don't wake me up. You know, this is because I don't want to know if this is real or if it's not real. Sometimes, you know, the old saying, just pinch me, you know, just so I can see if this is real. But I think all of us has had that kind of experience at some point in our life, and I also think that this is what Ruth is feeling. When you come to the end of the book of Ruth, I think she finds herself in a situation that's almost, too good to be true, unbelievably good, however you want to, address that. I think she's at that place. And when you read the book of Ruth, for example, I'll just kind of bring it all down in a nutshell. She's worn, in chapter 1, she's worn the garments of a widow. In chapter 2, she wears the garment of a worker. Chapter 3, she is wearing the garment of a woman. But here in chapter 4, when you come to the end of the chapter, we find that she's now wearing the garment of a wife. And it's an amazing thing. It just, you can't help but smile and be thankful how God, remember God said, and God works all things for the good, or together for the good to them that are the called and are the called. That are the called according to his purpose. So, and we're seeing this play out here in the life of Ruth. I think probably for her, it's kind of like a fairy tale. I think she kind of feels like Cinderella, you know, and she's been swept off her feet by a handsome prince, and she goes off to live happily ever after. So today I want to show you some things, and it, we kind of parallel this to between her experience and ours, and how we can see us in what she has lived here in the book of Ruth. And sometimes, think about it, do you ever think back in your life and you look at your life where you were, where you used to be, and you see where you are now and see what God has done for us, and it's just like, man, I just can't believe that I'm here in this place at this time, and how much God has blessed me. You ever think back like that? Man, I do. I think back about how God has blessed, and I really think, and I know for a fact that there are things that have come in my life that I have been able to do that I would have never been able to do. I believe this with all my heart. I would have never been able to do. I've seen things that I have would have never been able to see had not I been obedient to the call of God in my life. And all God's people can say, amen. And I wonder, you know, Lord, why'd you do that for me? And I think Ruth is, again, here in that situation. I think it looks back and she thinks about all that Boaz has done for her. And I think maybe at this point in her life, after she's been married and we read that, I think she's at one of them moments, Lord, you know, just pinch me. And so I'll know that I'm not asleep. Well, when we look in verse 13, we come to this place and kind of look in things in application. We see Ruth and her waiting experience in verse 13 and verse 14. If you look in verse 13, you notice that Boaz tells her to tarry this night. And we see that she waited by faith. Listen, he promised her that when morning came, that he would see to her redemption one way or another. And I want to remind you that, listen, you've noticed this. I want you to understand that we are in the night right now. Listen, we're in the night. And the Bible teaches that the night is far spent. And I want you to understand that as Boaz tells Ruth to wait, we today are doing the same thing. We are to wait patiently. But now, not just sit down and wait, we're to be moving as we wait. Amen? I mean, we're to be getting some things accomplished as we wait. Well, what are we waiting on? Just like Ruth waited for the promise of Boaz that in the morning when it came that he was going to take care of her, listen, our heavenly Boaz is also going to do the same thing. He's going to see to the needs in our life. Philippians tells us that he shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So no matter how dark the way might be, or no matter how dark the way might become, we can remember, listen, the morning is going to come. Just as sure as the sun sets in the west, it's going to come up in the east. You know why? Because God deemed it so. And just as sure as we may go through some dark things in our life, we can rest assured that God's going to take care of us. And we see it right here in the picture of Boaz. Look in Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. I want you to see this. When morning comes, Boaz says he's going to meet all the needs of her life. Well, in Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, it tells us, and I'll read the end of the verse, it says, weeping may endure for the night. Amen? But look at the last part of that. But what? Joy comes in the morning. Oh, man, I'm telling you, when I was out in the oil field and we worked midnight shift, I hated it. Man, I hated working nights. But about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, that was when it was really the toughest to keep going. It was tough. But I knew that just in a little while, at 6 o'clock in the morning, the sun was still, it was still dark, but off in the distance, if you could watch, there was a road that was coming into the rig, and there was always headlights. And I knew that when I saw the headlights in the distance, and listen, relief was about to be there, and I could go home. Well, I want you to understand this afternoon that, listen, if we look off in the east, we can see the headlights of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and relief is on its way. Amen. Notice verse 14. She waited by faith, but she also, notice where she waited. She waited at his feet. Ruth spent the night at the feet of Boaz, just as she had been instructed to do. She knew that as he would, that listen, that Boaz, if she did that, that he would do just as he promised. And I want to remind you, as born-again children of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our refuge. But we have left his feet in a lot of ways. Listen, we need to get back to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can know that when the storms of this life begin to assail us, that he will take care of us. Amen. Psalm chapter 61. Turn over there. Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61 and look at verses 1 through 4. He says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Listen, you ever get overwhelmed? Oh man, I'm telling you, if you haven't, you're just not admitting it. We have all come to the place where we have been overwhelmed in this life. And there may be days coming that we are overwhelmed. But notice what it says. It says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Selah. Listen, I want you to understand that there is no better place for the suffering saint than to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until He comes, we need to mark ourselves a place off at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what might come, listen, we ought to make it where the hounds of hell couldn't drag us away from that place. And that's exactly where Ruth waited, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice not only her waiting experience, the wedding experience. You know, I have a tendency, I kind of like weddings. I don't like to officiate them, but I like them. I enjoyed the wedding yesterday. One of the reasons why I enjoyed it so much is because Brother Marco is the one that officiated. I could just sit back and watch all the chaos and the things during the practice, and I could think, man alive, this is awesome. I like it, you know. They were officiating. I got a phone call. Sherry and I were out doing some things, and I got a phone call, and this Brother Marco, and he said, "Hey." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "All the electricity's off at the church." And I thought, oh, man. I said, "Well, call this number and find out from the electric company what's going on." And then I hung up. And I looked at my wife and I said, "I don't know why I'm worried about it. Let him take care of it. He's there. I'm not. That's his wedding, not mine." Yeah, man, you follow me? You know, sometimes, watch this, sometimes we fret over things. But then when the wedding took place, man, it was a neat thing. I think back to when my daughters got married, and I'm telling you, it's just a neat thing. I still think back to some of the things that took place, and, you know, I get all kind of teary-eyed, you know what I mean? Well, one of these days, we're going to be involved in a wedding. Are you still with me? Say amen. And listen, the church is the bride of Christ. And listen, and one of these days, the groom is going to come after us, amen. Listen, and it was the same for Ruth. It was a time for glory, watch, for the groom. Boaz saw his plan completed when Ruth was redeemed and when she became his bride. What an awesome day it was, not just for her, but for him. He paid the price. Watch, Boaz paid the price for her because of his love and because he was magnified of that as a result. If you read verse 11 and 12, when you look there, you read that word "took." That word means to carry away, to fetch. What a picture that is of that which our heavenly Boaz is going to do for us one of these days. He is going to come and catch us away. He's going to come and fetch us out of here. Amen. I really believe, as me and my dad were talking the other day, and I think back, listen, Dad's 88 years old, and he says, "Son," and I'll say it again, I told my wife, I said, "I think that is a good terminology." He said, "We are living in the shadow of the rapture." And I thought, Dad, I think you are absolutely right. I believe that the rapture of you and me, of the saints of God, listen, I really honestly think God lets me live, that I am not going to see the grave. I am going to hear the trump of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ call us out of here. And He is going to catch us away. You better be ready. Listen, there's a lot of folks today that's not ready. But the Lord's going to catch us away. And He's going to see, just as Boaz, our heavenly Boaz, will see his plan completed when his bride is safe with him in glory. And listen, and we're going to go home. I was talking to another preacher friend of mine. He said, "Listen, you better pray for, he's got COVID pneumonia." And I said, "Dadgum, man." He said, "You better pray for me." He said, "Or me and your other friend, brother, we're going to beat you to glory." And I thought, you know, I began to think about heaven. And I thought, you know, and you know, we get a little nervous in this old flesh. Can y'all agree with me? Say amen. But in the reality is, folks, we ought not to be worried or scared about going home. Listen, I'm never worried about going home in this earthly home. We look forward to going home. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety. It's a place of rest. But listen, this is not our home. We're just sojourners, just passing through. But one of these days soon, we are going home. Amen. And so we see that it was a time of glory for the groom. It was also a time of grace for the bride. Think about this. Look, if you go back and read verses 1 through 11, you find that in spite of Ruth's past, she was accepted in Boaz. When she was redeemed, watch, a legal transaction took place. When the near kinsman plucked off his shoe, you remember me talking to you about that, as a sign that he could redeem Ruth, Boaz, watch this, Boaz took that shoe and kept it as evidence that he was the redeemer and that Ruth had been forever redeemed from her past. Well, now watch. Through his blood, we have been accepted. Are y'all following me? Say amen. And the Bible reminds us that in spite of what we were in Jesus, we have been forever redeemed. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians. I'll give you a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look in verses 9 through 11. Familiar, really. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now watch this next phrase. "And such were some of you." Wait a minute. But, look, here it is. "You're washed. You're sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We've not been redeemed by corruptible things, but incorruptible things. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Watch. And we may not have a shoe to prove that we belong to the Lord, but we've got something a whole lot better than that. Listen, we have the Lord Jesus Himself seated at the right hand of the Father and living to make intercession for me and you. Praise the Lord. We have an advocate in heaven. He bears in his body, watch, our advocate in heaven bears the marks in his body of the cross. And folks, in spite of, listen, of what we were, and in spite of what we still might be at times, think about it, we are going to stand in heavenly places by his grace. Amen. Listen, in fact, according to Scripture, I'm already there. I'm as good as in heaven right now. But while I'm not, I need to be moving forward for the cause of Christ. I need to be contending for the faith. I need to be doing the things that God has called me to do. I need to be involved in serving Him in this place, trying to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that it was a time of grace for the bride. But notice a third thing in verses 14 through 22, Ruth and her worship experience. I've got to preach longer. I think I can stretch it out because y'all don't want to go home. Y'all don't want to get used to going home too early. All right. I'll let Brother Marco preach. Amen. After, now watch it. Look in verse 14. We're talking about her worship experience. After the redemption was concluded and the marriage was finished, there was a time of worship that began. Notice verse 14. We see what prompted their praise. It focused itself in, watch this is important, in a sovereign. Verse 14 indicates that God received the praise for the transaction. Okay? It is what I want you to see this, because it was God that established the plan that brought Ruth and Boaz together. He's the one that exalted. Listen, he's the one that did that. And he ought to be the one exalted. You understand today that when we are born again, child of God, it was God who put that plan in place. It was His Son that was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God. He already had a plan of redemption all in place before we ever came on the scene. God had already made it possible for you and I to be redeemed. He'd already took care of it. And so when somebody gets saved, the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the holy angels of God. Do you know why? Listen, it says in the presence of the angels of God. Why? Because they don't really get it. They don't understand it. They've looked into it. It's a mystery to them. But I can get it, amen. Listen, you know how I can get it? Because such as once I was, listen, I was all of those things that we read a little while ago, but I've been washed, amen. I've been sanctified. I've been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Listen, so it's a time that we give Him the praise. When somebody gets saved, well, I'm thankful that they got saved, but I'm telling you, we ought to look to God and say, thank you, God, for making it possible for them to be saved. So after the redemption was concluded and the marriage was finished, listen, they began to give praise to the one who took care of all those things. And God help us not to forget everything that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ because of His grace. I was thinking back the other day about when Sherry and I first got married, and man, the things that I had come out of. Listen, I'm telling you, it was a wasteful time before I got my life together, wasted years. But I look back and I think, man, that it's only by the grace of God that I'm able to be where I'm at today. Listen, it takes work, by the way. If you're born again, child of God, it takes work to try to stay right with God. Can I get an amen? It ain't just something that comes easy every day. Listen, why? Because, you know, temptation doesn't just knock on the door. It leans on the doorbell. Amen? And that's the way the old devil is. He'll come and he will be after you every moment of every day. But thank God that He is greater, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And so listen, it's by His grace. So when we have a victory over temptation or sin, man, we ought to turn around and just say, thank you, Lord, for helping me get through that. So the focus was on the sovereign in verse 14. But then we see that the worship experience, it was also fixed in a son. Now watch, you remember the child that Ruth and Boaz had together, remember his name? What was it? Obed. His name means worshiping. This son, what? Think about this. This son firmly fixed Ruth's place in Israel. What an awesome thing. Her redemption, think about that. Her redemption gave her legal standing in courthouse records. But the child gave her a connection with the royal family. Listen, I want you to understand something, that when we get saved, there's been a transaction take place. And our name has been recorded in a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's like a legal transaction. Listen, our name has been written down and there can't nothing take it out. Listen, I believe, honestly, that our names, when it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's written in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is nothing more powerful than the blood of Christ. Listen, been written in a transaction, but it makes us a part of the royal family. What an awesome thing that is. Listen, I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What? His is mine. And listen, and what mine is His. Amen. Folks, listen, I want you to understand, it's an awesome thing. Obed was King David's grandfather. This made Ruth David's great-grandmother. But better than that, watch, she's named. Look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Matthew chapter 1. You remember Ruth's background, right? Man, she came from Moab. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. We read it. Remember, we read it in the book of Ruth. But now here it is. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Buz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And verse 6, and Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias, we keep reading. It says in, I'm trying to find the end of that. Oh, look in verse 14. And Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim. Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar. Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob. It's getting closer. It's building, amen. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. You go on, but listen, but it all started with Ruth. Listen, Ruth, that, King David's great-grandmother, but she is mentioned in Matthew 1, verse 5, as one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. A little boy by the name of Obed changed everything. You know, we talked about that, how children in our homes, listen, they change everything. The first child in the home, after you've been married a little while and it comes into the home, listen, I'm telling you, life is never the same. Amen? Never the same. But I want you to understand, this child changed everything for Ruth. And so it is with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, His birth, that baby changed everything for mankind. Everything. For Naomi and Ruth and everybody involved, watch this. The Bible says, Obed became, here it is, a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is that same thing today? He is a restorer of life. I'm thankful, listen, watch this, that if somebody ever tells you that I died, you just tell them that they're a liar. I'm not dead. I just changed places. Listen, I changed walking on carpet to walking on the streets of gold. I'm not just breathing the air of this old world. I'm breathing celestial air. Listen, there's no light electric bill. Why? Because lighting is perpetual. Amen? Listen, I'm in a new place. I'm looking forward to going there. There is nothing, I was telling this the other day, there is nothing, no matter how much I love my kids or my grandkids, listen, there is nothing that's more important to me than one day walking the streets of glory. And when Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds, I'm not going to say, Lord, I was really looking forward to seeing my grandkids grow up. Not for a second. I am looking forward to walking the streets of gold in a better place. This place can't compare. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the minds and the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Listen, when He comes, I'm ready. Listen, genuine worship, this is what happened with Ruth, will always erupt out of a personal relationship with God. And when you know Him, when you know the one who is the restorer of life, and the one who is the giver of life, the nourisher of all ages, listen, it don't take much to just stop for a minute and just say, thank you, God, for what you've done for us. 1 John 5:12, it says, He that hath the Son. You want to know a simple verse for leading people to the Lord? Listen, some people, I sometimes get a little aggravated the way people disrespect the things of God. I saw something happen the other day about someone that was pointed out to me. They said they were an atheist, and Brother Marco was praying, and I was watching. I watch people, and they were just up walking around the ground, so disrespectful to the man of God. And I thought to myself, I said, listen, he may do that one day. He may not want to bow his head right now and close his eyes, But one of these days, every knee going to bow. And I began to wonder, I thought, I wonder how much defiance is going to be in the heart of man when that time comes. Are they going to have to kind of be forced down? Or are they going to fall down? I don't know that. You know, because human nature, listen, it is, the Bible says it's wicked, the heart of wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Listen, I'm telling you, but it doesn't matter. They're going to bow. And they're going to know. And if we know somebody who's lost today, we better tell them this verse. You know, I love my family. But listen, if there's one thing that I don't want my family to think, man, I'm a good Joe, and I'm a good time guy, and I can, if you want to do something, have a good time, just look at him. You know, he's the guy. Listen, I would rather them dislike me because I told them about the Lord Jesus Christ and love me because they think I'm a good time guy. Listen, I want my family to know one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they're born again children of God. And the Bible says here in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And this life is in the Son. Listen, Jesus is the way. And God help us. Listen, I honestly believe it. And I, you know, but there's a lot of people that says, oh, where is he? Where is he? You know, things remain the same as they were. All things remain the same. I've heard all this for years. Man, I've heard, I'm 61 years old. My dad's 88. You know, people say, man, I've heard that all my life, that Jesus is coming back and this is going to happen. But things remain the same, and we still wake up in the morning, we go to bed at night, we do all this, and it's all the same. Listen, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter where we believe it or not. The Bible says, lift up your head because your redemption draweth nigh. We better be ready. Better be ready. Because we're living in the shadow of the rapture. I'll stop there. We see a picture of grace, and I'll read this. I'll be done. Grace can take you from nowhere as a nobody, and it can change your life, redeem you from death, and place you in the family of a king. Man, what an awesome thing for Ruth. Do you know what? Grace took me from being nowhere, from being a nobody, and it changed my life, and it put me, listen, it changed me from, it took me from a place of death to a place of life, and it put me in the family of a king. What an awesome thing. And if you're born again, child of God, did the same thing for you. I think it's time for God's children to start acting like God's children. I'm a child of a king. Amen? And so are you. God help us in the days to come to live a separated, holy life. And that when people look at us, they see Christ in us. And that we can be the light that shines the brightest in a dark world. Ruth, what a great picture of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people can say, amen. Father, help us. Bless us, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help us to always be thankful. God, before we go to bed at night, can we just say thank You, Lord, for loving us? Can we just, as children of God, can we just say thank You, Lord, for taking me from being a nobody, Lord, to being a somebody in the family of Almighty God? Lord, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for Your mercy, Lord. I'm a recipient of it every day. God, I pray that we'll just be thankful and grateful. Lord, help us, God, to please, to live a life that's pleasing to You. I really believe that, Lord, that Your coming is soon. I believe it's quicker than we realize. Lord, help me to be ready to meet You at Your coming. And I pray, God, that You do the same for our folks, Lord. God, if there's somebody here that just needs to, for whatever reason they need, I pray, Lord, if they're, Lord, it's just our family tonight or this afternoon. I pray, God, if there's somebody here who needs to come and get their life right, they'll come. Lord, please help us do the right thing. Lord, for whatever the spiritual need might be in our lives, I pray, God, you'd come. Or pray, Lord, that they'll come and do business with you, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand and while we just sing a verse, the Lord's speaking to your heart. You come. Come on, while we sing.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And His grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is His fountain and wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Sing a verse of that. 3:10. There's room at the cross. It's a good song. Listen, when you get a little far away, or maybe your back's turned, we ought to remember this. Hymn number 3:10. Let's sing that first verse. Would you sing it with us, please? Go ahead, please.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter.
Think about it. There's room, amen. Never too crowded. God's always got space. Let me encourage you. And I didn't want to keep you long, but I know that the roads are. I think they'll be fine. But I want you to be careful going home. Don't let somebody else run over you. You know, a lot of people don't know how to drive in cold weather. So in rain or dry weather either. You know, but so please be careful going home. Please be back Wednesday night. But Marco's preaching through parables, and I've enjoyed them. I want you to be faithful, but most of all, let's each one reach one. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's keep that. Choir, you come right on up. I didn't forget, okay? I won't hold you. We just want to work on one song, and then I'll let you go, all right? Let's be dismissed. Brother Brandon, would you dismiss us, please, sir?